Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, because their wickedness has come up before me." I wonder if you've ever had a bolt from the blue. Many of you know, for 25 years I worked for InterVarsity Press. And at InterVarsity Press, there was a character called George. And George would come to me sometimes and say, "Stop what you're doing. Got a job for you, mate. You've got to go here. Pick up this." Now there were two reasons why I didn't tell George exactly where to go. One was, George was, and as far as I know still is, the finance and operations manager of IVP. And the second was, my mortgage wasn't paid up. But it was a bolt from the blue. And that's exactly what Jonah gets here. And for a little while, I'd like to look at just these first two verses. And I've got five headings, but panic not, they're not all the same size. Who was Jonah? Who commissioned him? What was Jonah's commission? What did he face? And who were you like? So who was Jonah? Well, the name Jonah means dove. But as you think of Jonah's response to the Lord delaying his judgment of Nineveh, dove isn't quite the word that perhaps springs to your mind, but that's what his name meant. His father was Amittai. That name means true. Do we get a clue to his character? We don't know. We know nothing about Jonah's father, except his name and the meaning. Jonah was a native of Gath Hepher, which means wine press of the well. It was in the territory of Zebulun in Lower Galilee, about 5 miles from Nazareth. Ring any bells? Should do. Because Nazareth, one time home of the one of whom Jonah was a type, our Lord Jesus Christ. The area of Jonah's ministry was Samaria. And if you want a word to sum up the situation in Israel and Judah, in Samaria, the word dire comes to mind. That's why we read from 2 Kings 14, to get a picture of the type of ministry situation that Jonah found himself and worked in. John Calvin puts it like this: Israel made a profession of true religion, yet they despised all prophets, so that their teaching among them was wholly useless. A desperate situation for the once favoured nation. Think of how God had blessed Israel. God had called them to be his people among all the nations of the world. Israel, laterly Judah, were to be his people. As Puritan Hugh Martins puts it, never had the favoured nation sunk so low. The King Jeroboam mentioned in 2 Kings 14 was King Jeroboam II, who was just as wicked as his namesake. You remember Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. What an epitaph. He made Israel to sin. As Paul puts it in 2 Timothy 3:5. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. And yet, such is the grace of God, such is the concern for the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, that the one prophecy of Jonas, of this man Jonas, on record, is one of gracious blessing and help. And of course we read it in 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 24 to 27. What grace, what forbearance on God, what concern for his covenant people, his covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And for that reason, God showed the mercy and help for his wretched and oppressed people. So that's who Jonah is. God willing, we begin looking at the life of this remarkable servant of God. So who commissioned Jonah, secondly? Says in our reading, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. We could turn anywhere. Will you turn to Isaiah chapter 40? Isaiah chapter 40. Just a couple of verses that show us who is the God that we're dealing with. Verses 15 to 17. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing and worthless. That's the God who came to Jonah that day and commanded him to arise and go to Nineveh. The living God of heaven and earth, the God before whom every nation is like a tiny drop in the bucket. Can you get an idea of the greatness of the God that we serve? This is no little local Jewish God. This is the God who spread the heavens in the sky, who put the stars into place, who created all things, and in whose presence we meet tonight. That's who commissioned Jonah. The God who has revealed himself in his creation, in his word, most of all, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that fallen man, whatever excuse he might give, as Paul puts it in his mighty epistle to the Romans, chapter 1 and verse 20 says, they are without excuse. That's who Commissioned Jonah. But there's something more. It's the one before whom, as we're reminded in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 to 12, we shall all one day stand and give account before his judgment throne. Can I ask you, what account will you have to render on that day? What account will I have to render? Solemn thoughts, but ones we need to think about carefully. Thirdly, what was Jonah's commission? We're not left in any doubt about it. Verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. If Jonah had reckoned on spending the rest of his life ministering to Israel, the Almighty had a very unpleasant shock for him. Instead of ministering among people who had at least the teachings of Scripture, God was going to send his servant roughly 900 kilometres or 560 miles roughly to the northeast to a godless heathen city. And notice, will you, how abruptly God issues his instructions. Arise, go, cry. It seems there was no preparation time, like there was for Moses, you remember, at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And how Moses tries to wriggle out of the job, but God isn't having any. And says to Moses, all right, Aaron, your brother, can go with you, but you're still going. Or Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, that vision of the temple, the vision of the Lord. And the Lord says, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah has to say, here am I, send me. Or Jeremiah, the lovely comforting Jeremiah saying, I am a child. And God says, don't say you're a child. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, I called you. But here, arise, go, cry. Like the command of an officer to one of his men. Command of a king. Command of the King of Kings to one of his subjects, arise, go, cry. Puritan Hugh Martin puts it like this, the very burst of light, therefore, almost of lightning, flashes out from Jehovah's throne on the dark Gentile world and his connection with it. Suddenly, when it seems as if he neither cared at present, nor would ever again show his care for the aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, Paul puts it in Ephesians 2:12. He has a sharp, an unmistakable, a terrifying message for the very chiefest of all their cities, the very citadel of heathen glory. Jonah was to be the herald of the judgment of Almighty God upon this city. John Calvin puts it like this, God strengthens his servant Jonah as though he said, thou wilt not as an individual have to contend with them, but I constitute thee as my herald to summon them to my tribunal. and those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ would seek to do as Jonah was commanded to do, to warn those without Christ of judgment to come, and to plead with them as Paul did, to be reconciled to God while there is still time. But fourthly, what did Jonah face? What was the situation he was going into? And this is the reason that I asked Richard to read that part of the prophecy of Nahum, because it gives a clue as to what life was like in Nineveh. It was founded by Nimrod or Asher. It was a city of kings, such as Sennacherib. It was enclosed within an inner city wall, 12 kilometres or 8 miles. The walls were 20 feet high, or if you prefer metric, 6 metres. 49 feet or 15 metres thick, with 15 monumental gateways that served as checkpoints, armories and barracks. It had a population estimated from around 600,000 to anywhere to 1 to 2 million. And it was a city of evil, caring only for prosperity, pleasure and power. If you'll forgive another quote by Calvin, the prophet Nahum makes this city of Nineveh to be like a harlot for this reason: because it had not only brought under its power neighbouring nations by threats and terrors and also by cruelty, but because it had ensnared many by oblique arts, fraudulent means, by captious or misleading dealings and allurements. This was the situation that God was calling Jonah to go into to pronounce his judgment. The judgment of Almighty God. And this is what we're called to do when we come out of these doors and go roughly a quarter of a mile to the spot on a Tuesday. We go in fear? You bet we do. But this is the same commission: to preach the gospel, but to warn of judgment to come. But having looked at who Jonah was, who commissioned him, what was his commission, what did he face? There is a fifth and very final and very important question. Who are you most like this evening? Are you like Jonah, a true servant of God? Are you willing, therefore, for God to say to you, arise, go, cry, wherever it is? Are you willing to live and tell the gospel wherever he may send you? Will you turn to Matthew chapter 10? For a moment, please. We read here some very solemn words spoken by the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Spoken not to the world, but to his disciples. Matthew chapter 10. Verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore confesses me, him before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If you look at the context, the Lord was speaking to his disciples. And that, those verses have been a real challenge to me more times than I care to remember. You see, my friends, denial doesn't have to be spoken. It can be silent. And as someone so rightly says, there are times in the Christian life when silence isn't golden, it's just plain yellow. So who are we like? Are we like Jonah? Are we willing to go and to tell others that there is a judgment to come? Paul in Acts 17 says that it is that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Acts 17, 30 and 31. Are you like Jonah? Are you like Israel in Jonah's day? Oh, you have a form of religion. You're not as the world. But there's no reality. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Isaiah again, chapter 29, speaks of this kind of situation. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honour me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. Does that describe you in any way? Perhaps we need to take up the challenge found in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 33. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Is there any here? Surely not, is there? Like the people of Nineveh, living only for today. Like the people beyond those doors, living only for today. Heedless, careless of anything but their own pleasure. The motto was, get what you can, how you can. And no matter what the cost to anyone else, there is a warning. Paul warned. God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. When someone is convicted, there is a day appointed for their trial. It can be delayed. Many reasons. This is one trial date that is set. Because the Almighty God has set it. And no man will escape it. Or they may try, but they won't escape. You know, have you heard the saying, never put off never put off till tomorrow what you can do today? Good advice, but never more vital than for our spiritual state. Because Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I have to ask this, but if the Almighty God called you into eternity this night, where would you go? The Bible tells us that it's one of two places, heaven or hell. Two or three weeks ago, my wife and I were journeying to one of the garden centres, as we do now, we're retired. Sorry to rub it in for those who were working. Our route to this particular garden centre, Harry and Rose will know it, Trowell, takes us under one of the motorway bridges. Normally you have the roar of traffic passing overhead, but not that day. There are queues all round, and on the bridge there's a sight that nobody ever wants to see. The sight of fire engines, police, ambulance. We learned later that there had been three fatalities. Those three people, whoever they are, hadn't set out that day to enter eternity. They'd set out, they were on junction, they joined a junction 26, journeying to journey down the motorway. They never made it to junction 25. We have been allotted a certain amount of time here on earth. We know, none of us know that allotment. Oh yeah, we record the day of our birth. But none of us knows the day of our death. That's reality. But are you ready? Are you ready if the Lord should call you? Because you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have come to Him, asking Him to forgive your sin, to cleanse you, to make you His. And will you seek, if you have, to make Him known? Will you seek those divine appointments day by day? At work, at home, wherever we are. To make Him known. To do what Jonah was called upon to do here. To warn of a judgment to come. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Will you be found faithful? Yes. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we confess, however falteringly, however fearful, that He's my Saviour. Seek to tell others. They may scorn. They may mock us. They may make us feel that small. But I'll tell you something. On that day when we stand in eternity, King of Kings, the one who upholds all things by the word of His power, He's going to confess you before His Father, before the angelic hosts of heaven. Father, this one is mine. Jonah was called, commissioned to go to the great city of Nineveh with all its pomp and might and power and wickedness, and cry against it. Warn of the judgment of Almighty God that was coming on that city. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, our responsibility is exactly the same. To warn of judgment to come. To point to the one who alone can deliver from hell. Where do you stand tonight? if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, what sort of a witness are you going to be tomorrow, this week? Are you going to pray for opportunities to share the gospel, to give someone a tract? And are we going to be found faithful to him? May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.